topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Power Women Magazine Radio Show. I'm your host, Deb Bailey, and I'm so excited that you're here with us today. We have a great guest for you. Suzanne Schaefer will be here in just a moment, and we're going to be talking about college. If you've got a junior or senior in high school this year, now would be a great time to start planning out their college. Suzanne, are you with us yet?
Yes, I am.
How are you today?
I'm doing great, Deb. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you very much. And I'm excited that you're here to share all this great information with us. So can you tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself?
Yes. I'm a parent of, my kids aren't teens anymore, but they both went to college, and I helped them get into the colleges of their choice and help them attain scholarships. And I found that parents were frustrated with the whole college admissions process, so I decided to create a parent toolkit to help parents guide their own teens through the college admissions process.
Good. Good. Very good. Yes, I know when I went to college myself many moons ago, I did not know the process either. When you get into high school in the senior level, they come and talk to you and your counselors, and they have the options of going to college, but they don't really tell you a whole lot. So you're here, and you have a book, too, that helps parents and junior seniors in high school get ready for the college and where to go and how to get all the information and the scholarships and stuff.
Exactly. The unfortunate thing about counselors is that they have very little time to devote to college prep. I think the statistics are that they have less than 20 minutes a week, and that's for every student that they counsel. So counselors are definitely overworked, and it's very difficult to rely on high school counselors to help your college down teens get prepared for the college process. So that's why I created my ebook, which is part of my toolkit, which basically walks parents and students through the entire process. It guides them and tells them where they need to go to find the right information and how to make the right choices about the colleges that they want to attend.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, let's start out by giving the information tips, perhaps is a better word, to parents that have juniors and seniors in high school. What are some basic things that they need to know first?
The biggest tip is to start making their own college list. Make a list of, say, about, if you're a junior, make a list of 10 colleges and start doing the research on those specific colleges. You can go to their websites and read about them. You can look on Twitter. Most colleges have Twitter feeds now. Most colleges also have Facebook pages where you can actually talk to the students on those pages and get some information about what the student climate is like. So the first thing, of course, is to make your college list. And then after you make the list, start taking some college visits. And those are probably the most important factor in making your college choice, is actually setting foot on the campus and visiting those colleges in person.
Wonderful. And that's a really great idea, because you may be thinking one thing and your child may be thinking something else as far as which college they would like to attend.
Exactly. And also, too, as a parent, another important, very important thing you need to do before you ever start the college search process is sit down with your student and explain to them what you can and cannot afford. It's a hard talk to have with your kids, but it's an important talk, because you don't want your child making plans and goals to attend a university that's going to be unaffordable for you and for them. And you don't want them graduating with thousands and thousands of dollars of debt. So you and your child need to sit down and talk about what you're planning to give them as far as college funding, what you expect them to do as far as help with their college funding, for instance, get summer jobs, save up money in that respect, and so that you're both on the same page financially, so that when they make a choice and they choose to, say, go to Stanford or some of the Ivy League colleges and they actually get in, and then you're wondering, how are you going to pay for it? So that conversation is also a key beginning factor to have with your teenager.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, that's really great because there's a lot of options out there. I know when I went to college, I went through the Pell Grant and student loan, and that's a long process too, and I want to touch base on that. I guess the first thing we should start with is how do you – I'm not even really sure how they do it anymore because I went to college 20 years ago, so I'm sure the process has changed. How does a student that needs financial assistance, how do they get that assistance? Where do they go? How do they research for that?
Okay. Well, the first thing that every high school student should do when the time they become a freshman is start looking online for scholarship opportunities. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scholarships out there that basically those are free money. You don't have to pay them back. You don't owe anyone when you graduate. This money is just when you win the scholarship, it's your money to use for your education. So I would encourage every single student to search for scholarship opportunities, begin to look at them in their freshman year, what the deadlines are, what the requirements are, and as they become juniors, start narrowing down their list of the ones they want to apply for and apply for every single one that they qualify for, because you're playing the odds there. The more you apply for, the more likely you're going to win one of them. So that's the first thing I encourage every student to do. The second thing is, whether you think you're going to qualify for aid or not, fill out the FAFSA form. And that's the federal application for federal student aid. And what it is it basically tells the colleges what your family can afford to pay for the college education. And then the colleges will fill in the gaps, basically. And they will find ways, if your child is accepted, to help you finance the rest of the education. So the FAFSA form is a number one have to fill out for every single family that their child is going to college. Fill it out. I don't care if you're a multimillionaire. Fill out the FAFSA form. Because colleges base their merit aid, which is scholarships and grants, on the FAFSA form. If you don't fill out the form, they're not going to give your child any kind of scholarship. So you've got to have that form completed.
Yes, and that's so true. And I remember when I went back to college, and I'm not sure how they do it again, but it was a long, tedious application, and they have people that help you, or they did when I went through there. So if you maybe don't know how to do anything or come up with all the information they need, they have counselors and guidances there that will help you do that, correct?
The FAFSA, yes. They have phone numbers that you can call while you're filling it out. There's actually, the FAFSA now, actually, you can do it all online, and it basically walks you through the process step by step, and you can even do a practice one if you want, mm-hmm. just to see what information you need to gather before you sit down and you do the FAFSA. A lot of parents are scared by the form, and I know because it's a federal form, it kind of brings on the feeling of income tax, you know, oh my gosh. But it's not really that scary. All it basically asks you is, you know, what's they take information from your IRS 1040 form, and then they ask mm-hmm. you about your family, how many kids are in college now, and, you know, that kind of information. And then they come up with what they determine you can afford to pay based on your family income. So it's not really a scary form. And also the great thing about it is if you make a mistake, you can correct it. You can go in there and fix it. It's not a huge deal. So don't be afraid of it. It's an important form, and there's always help out there. They have numbers you can call. parents can always email me if they want and ask me questions. I'm always there to help. There's so many people online that understand the forum. If you're on Twitter, there's several FAFSA feeds on there that you can ask questions. So there's the information's available. Don't be afraid of it. And like I said, it's a key forum for getting any kind of scholarships, grants, Pell grants, any kind of aid. You have to fill it out.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Now, is junior senior year the earliest that we should be thinking about our college future and filling out all the forms and gathering all our information, or should we do this the minute that we hit the high school doors?
Well, you know, it's funny. A lot of parents, I mean, you wouldn't believe it. Some parents are doing college prep with their kids in grade school. I think that's a bit too early, but basically, well, I know, they get a little bit type A personality on the kids. And basically, this is how I feel about it. I think one of the best things you can do to prepare your kids for college is to encourage them to read. If you're a type A personality and you have a child in grade school and you're already thinking, you know, you want them to be ready for college, encourage them to read. Get them to read everything and anything they can get their hands on, because reading does a few things. It increases their vocabulary, which is key for the college admissions test, the SAT and the ACT. And it also improves their knowledge of the world around them. So when they get into high school, they're going to be more prepared to deal with the material that they're reading. They're going to be more prepared as they get into college to be able to read the material. So I would say if you want to think about college prep in grade school, encourage your child to read. And encourage them to ask you questions about words they hear that they don't understand. And if you don't understand them, look them up together and start increasing their vocabulary. So that's the first college prep step I would encourage. Now, once your child gets into high school, I think that there are steps that you can take to make sure that when they become a senior, that they're ready to take that college plunge, per se. And the first thing is to make sure that their course schedule for the next 4 years when they enter high school is college-related curriculum. And the high school counselors should be able to help them with that. They know what colleges are looking for as far as strengths in math and science, and finding a well-rounded curriculum. Colleges also look for students with higher-level courses like honors classes and AP classes and dual-credit classes. They look for students that are really pushing themselves to excel academically. So academic-wise, they need to plan their course schedule when they get into high school. Then there's the whole extracurricular, path. And I encourage students to choose an activity when they become a freshman and stick with it. They don't need to do 4,000 different extracurricular activities. What they need to do is find something they love and stick with that for the next 4 years, because colleges look at that as consistency and perseverance and commitment. They're more interested in a student that, say, joins NJROTC and participates in the unit for 4 years than a student that does student council president, then they're a cheerleader, then they volunteer at the church, and they have all these activities, but there's no real consistency. So my recommendation is stick with something that you love. Find it your freshman or sophomore year and stay with it until you're a senior. And then as you get into the junior, senior years, that's when you really start focusing more on the college prep process as far as getting your ducks in a row and making sure everything is ready for that application your senior year.
Right. Your ebook is Parents Countdown to College Toolkit, and in it you talk about the high school resume. What is it and why is it important?
The high school resume basically gives colleges an idea of who you are. And that resume includes everything from your academic accomplishments, any awards or honors that you received in high school, your extracurricular activities, your volunteer hours, what time you've spent giving back to your community, and even any kind of scholarships that you might be awarded. So it's basically just like, you know, a business person's resume where you list what you've done for the last 4 years. It's pretty much the same thing. You go into detail about your academics, what your grade point average was, what your class rank is, that type of thing. And it just gives colleges a good overview of who you are as a student. So they look at that resume, and when they see it, they want to see a student that's been engaged, that's been academically pursuing their goals, and that is a well-rounded student, someone that they would want to bring into their college campus.
Wonderful, wonderful. So it's almost like you're branding yourself. You're getting yourself out there, like as if you're going to be, well, you are being interviewed, but like almost like a job interview where this is what you have done in the past and this is where you want to go with goals for the future. So it's almost similar, right?
Exactly. It is really is branding. And I also talk a little bit about personal branding with teenagers in my ebook too, because I make it clear to parents to make sure that their students are not branding themselves in a negative way. For instance, with Facebook and Twitter and some of these other social sites, Google has a tendency to never forget what you post. So right. You don't want your student posting on their Facebook page stuff like, I hate school, my parents are losers. You know, kids have those feelings. Right. But when they put them out on the internet on a Facebook page, colleges are now, admissions officers are telling me that when there's a question about admission, like if the student is maybe on the fence, like we want to admit them but we're not sure, they'll start looking it through social media and see if they can find anything positive about that student. So when they start searching Facebook pages and Google Plus accounts and MySpace and all those other social media sites, and they see comments from students that are negative, they're going to use that to make their determination. So just, you know, have your student Google their name, look and see what comes up when their name is Googled, and make sure that if there's any negative stuff up there that they remove it or do something to you know, combat it. So that so that when the admissions officer comes on there and sees it, they're not immediately turned off by those type of comments. Some officers have told me that they've seen posts on students. My parents are making me apply to X college, and I don't really want to go there. Well, you know, I mean, they'll probably pretty much put that in the rejection pile because, you know, they don't want to go there. So, you know, so just make sure that your student isn't branding themselves in a negative way. It's kind of like a reputation, whereas years ago, our reputations were one-on-one with people. Now our reputations online are so massive, and everybody sees who we are. It's just not our little circle of friends. Now it's the entire internet. So that's an important factor, you know. And as far as, you know, even email addresses can be negatively seen by admissions officers, like they say, you know, like students will put stuff like I'm too hot@gmail.com or stuff like that. They need to have a professional email address, like first name, last name, and then that email provider. They don't want to have some strange, like, email address. Those are just simple things that go a long way in promoting their personal brand to a college.
Absolutely, because there's so much. You never know who's looking at you to start with, and I say that to my kids too. You never know where tomorrow's going to lead you, and you don't know who's looking at you today. So that's some really great tips. I want to talk a little bit about organization because I think this is so important. Because A, half the time I'm not organized, but B, there is a lot to do to get a kid in college nowadays that need
organizational skills, and you break it down pretty well in your book. Can you go over some of those areas with us and maybe give us an outline of things that we need to have? I know you talk about folders and all kinds of great stuff.
Right. Okay. Well, my big motto with my business is preparation prevents panic. And along with that goes organization is the key to a successful college process. So if your student is using their bedroom floor as a filing cabinet, you're in trouble, because what's going to happen is you're going to, as a parent and a student, you're going to miss important deadlines. So when your student first gets into high school, I would find a place in the house, wherever you have, to make it a landing zone where when they come home from school, they just put every piece of paper that they get from the school on this landing zone. And then at some point during the week, you guys go through it together and decide what's important and what's not important. Because let's face it, I mean, anyone that's had high school students knows that they get papers every single day from this organization or that organization or from the counselors, the teachers, whatever. So whatever they get and they bring home, you need to have a landing zone for that. And so that everybody knows that's where all the paperwork goes. And if you want to look through it when they're at school and make sure that there are college-related things in there and what you want to do with them once you get them, just have a landing zone. The second thing I recommend is a huge wall calendar. And I know that nowadays everything is so technologically advanced where people have calendars on their phones and they sync them with Evernote and they do all sorts of things like that. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that, because that's another backup plan where you can have a calendar and sync it so that everybody knows what's going on. But sometimes a visual thing every day as you walk by it and you see on that calendar, you know, oh, tonight is a college information meeting on campus. We need to remember to do that. Or oh, the SAT deadline's coming up. We need to make sure we register before that happens. Or oh, we need to go over your transcript before the end of the school year to make sure everything's okay. So I recommend that you post a huge wall calendar, maybe a write-on calendar that you can use every month to remind yourself of the dates and the times of things that you need to follow the deadlines. And then the third thing is you need a filing cabinet and probably a USB drive that you can keep all the high school papers on the USB drive. In the filing cabinet, you can file any papers that were returned. The reason I say save the papers is because there's lots of essays that your students write that you can use those for essay competitions for scholarships. So save the papers from the English essays. Save any awards or accommodations that your student gets. If they get on the AB honor roll and they get a paper at home from, you know, their counselors, save that. And just make a file cabinet for every year with different categories and file all the paperwork so that when you're creating the resume senior year, you'll have all the information right at your fingertips. And you'd be surprised at how many times we forget things that our kids did or jobs that they did or awards that they got just because years pass and you just can't remember them when they get ready to make their resume. So basically it's create a landing zone, get yourself a wall calendar and a filing cabinet. It doesn't have to be a cabinet, maybe just a box or a crate or something where you can file all those high school papers and notices in, and you won't miss any information that you need later on.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, you're right. I remember when my kids were going through school, my son particularly was bad about not bringing stuff home. So once a week I stopped by the high school and got all his papers. He'd still like that. My daughter
right.
brought home everything.
Yeah, I know. Well, the great thing now about high school is that so many campuses have websites. And they post notices on their website. So if you're a parent and you have a student in high school, I would say look at that website at least once a week and see if there's a college information meeting scheduled or if maybe there's a college fair scheduled that you don't know about or maybe there's some college-related information. A lot of times there'll be scholarship notices sent home about some scholarship application, and also they'll post them on the website. So just, you know, there's so many tools you can use to check up now on your students that there weren't years ago. Just take advantage of the tools and use them. I've noticed even some high schools now have Facebook pages, and that's a great way to see what's going on too. So you as a parent, your goal is to sort of be the major organizer, just to keep them on track. And I know this one parent that she will text her son, you know, like the day that something's due to remind him, because that's what he uses to remember, text messages. So if your kid's really into text messaging, use it. If your kid's into emails, use it. Use whatever it takes to remind them of things that they need to do. So, you know, you just kind of need to stay on top of them and make sure they stay organized.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. I want to talk about tests, because there are some tests that you need to take as a high school student to get into college, and maybe we're freshmen listening to the program, or maybe we're a parent just starting out in this arena. Can you explain to us what the tests are, what they're called, what they're about, and why they need to take them?
Sure. The basic tests are the college admissions tests, and they're the SAT or the ACT. And most colleges, not all, but most colleges require these tests as part of your admissions packet. Now, there are some schools that call themselves test optional schools. And these are schools that say that they don't require a test for admission, but students will submit their test scores to these schools. My recommendation is to take the tests. I mean, you can take them, and if you bomb them, you bomb them, but always take the tests. Now, there's so much hoopla about how important these tests are, and I don't want to say that they're not important, but I want parents and students to understand that the test is only part of the admissions packet. It's just a tool that they use to gauge whether or not the student is academically prepared for college. There are many, many times that students do poorly on SAT or ACT tests, and the colleges look at their overall academic performance in high school, and they see their value on campus, and they will admit them. So don't freak out and panic about these tests. They're not like the be-all and end-all of college admissions. They're important, and you should take them, and you should prepare for them, but you should not freak out about, you know, I know some parents that just go berserk with their kids and get them tutoring and get them pay all this money for it, and the kids get stressed and panicked, and it doesn't do any good. So while the tests are important, and they are, it's not the be-all and end-all of the admissions packet. So basically, there's two tests. There's the SAT test, and there's the ACT test. You should take both tests to find out which you do better on, because all colleges now pretty much accept both tests, and they're geared toward different types of students. So if you do well on one, focus on that test and take it a couple of times, and don't worry about the other one. You need to take both so you can see which one you do better with, because there are different types of tests. Then there's SAT subject tests, which you can take. Many colleges require that you take some of these for admission, and there you can take them anytime. You can take them at the end of your junior year or the beginning of your senior year or whatever, that basically give colleges an idea of how well you do in those specific subjects. And that's pretty much the only test that you really need. Now, there are what they call CLEP tests, which you can take those tests and you can basically test out of subjects. Like, you could get college credit for as many tests that you score well on and not have to take those courses in college. And I totally recommend that you do that. There's AP tests, which are the same. If you score high on those, colleges will many times let you skip that course. I know some students that go into freshman year as sophomores because they've tested out of their basic freshman courses. So I know that's a lot of information, but basically there's college admissions tests, there's college subject tests, and then there's tests that help you get credit for college courses. Does that make sense, Deb? I don't want to confuse everybody.
I think so, yeah. And there's some, I want to make sure that everybody knows, because my daughter did this before she went to start college, which she decided to take a different route. But also online, there's free tests that you can take, because my daughter, she has ADD for one thing, and for another thing, she gets really nervous at tests. And I was afraid that when she went to go take the test that she would bomb out on this test and it would really have a negative impact on her wanting to go to the university up in Little Rock, Arkansas. So we found a place online, and there's several of them, where you can take a free ACT or free SAT test.
Oh, yeah.
And
there are free practice tests. Yeah.
Right. And you can get on there, and it can kind of give your child a little bit of feeling about what to expect and how to do it and brush up on what they need to brush up on. Because I know myself, I didn't want her to go up in there blind and say, oh, my God, let me sit down, and then just be so intimidated that she walked out of the room.
Right.
So I think that's a great idea to share, too.
Right. Exactly. And the majority of students do go into those tests completely unprepared. And I do recommend that students prepare for these tests. They can, the College Board has practice tests online that are free. There's multiple SAT prep, free SAT prep websites online that they can go to find help just preparing. There's vocabulary help sites on there where you can have a vocabulary word a day that just kind of improves your vocabulary. I don't think you should ever go into a test unprepared, especially these. And if you take the practice test and you memorize some of the rules and the formulas and you work on your vocabulary, I say do SAT and ACT test prep over the summer. Just take a little bit every day, 30 minutes every day. Do some vocabulary words, do some practice questions, look at the answers, what you think you did wrong. If they're wrong, try to figure out how to get the right answer, and take the time to prepare, because I guarantee you, they say that the majority of students go into those tests totally unprepared. So if your student goes in prepared, they're going to be better off in the long run than the majority of students. So SAT and ACT prep is a must. I mean, it's a must. Don't just walk in there blind and say, okay, I'm taking the test, and expect to do well. Because unless you're a super genius, it's not going to happen. I mean, it's not going to happen. So
absolutely.
The free practice tests are great. There's this absolutely amazing vocabulary site. It's called wordnerd.com, and I mean, she takes vocabulary words and strings them together so that students know how to associate one word with another. It's not just your standard vocabulary words. So basically, SAT, ACT prep is very important. Practice tests are very important. You can even take the PSAT when you're in the 10th grade just to give yourself a feel for the testing situation and what it's like. It won't count. It'll show you what you did wrong so you can go over your answers and look at them and see where your weaknesses are. So, yeah, I definitely recommend doing some practicing before you walk into that test.
Absolutely. In your book, you talk about 10 big mistakes for college planning. Can you share any of those with us?
You caught me off guard. I can't remember all 10 of them. Off the top of my head, I can't remember them. If you want to give me some, I can talk a little bit about them. But yeah, I can't remember all 10
that's
of those.
Okay. That's okay. Yeah, I got the book open here my face here. I'm going through, because there's so much in this book, and that's what I like about this book, too, while I'm looking this up. This ebook covers everything, and that's a lot of information, and you can use it as a guide and a resource toolkit to go back to. Even if your child is a freshman or sophomore in college in high school, and you want to get them ready, and maybe you're just talking about college or what they want to do in their future, you still want to get this ebook to keep it as a resource for later on.
Right, and that's when I created the book. It was basically created for parents who wanted to do everything themselves. I mean, there are parents out there that want to pay someone to coach their students, but not every parent can afford thousands of dollars to pay a college admissions coach. So my goal in creating the book was for those parents that could not afford to spend thousands and thousands of dollars and wanted to help their student themselves, do the process and walk them through it. And that's why I kind of recommend that they get it, early on when their kids are beginning high school, because it basically starts from the very beginning and it walks you through step by step of everything you need to do, from planning their courses to taking those college visits, to getting down to the final applications. And even after they're accepted, I sort of help them understand how to view the financial aid awards and how to compare those and make sure that you choose the right college based on the best award. So that was my goal in creating the book. And actually, I pulled up my book now, so I can kind of talk about the mistakes that I think are the 10 worst mistakes. And you'd be amazed to find out that so many families make these mistakes. So you want me to just go through all of them, or you want me to just mention the ones that I think are important, or?
You do however you want. We've got about 10 minutes left in the program. So I thought the reason why I wanted to mention was because I'm sure there's somebody out there that's listening to this that has gone through some of these, because I know I did personally when my time came. So I thought it was important, and I'm glad that you had it in your book.
Okay. All right. Well, let me just talk about each of them briefly. I don't have to go into detail, but the first mistake is applying to a college sight unseen. And believe me, unfortunately, my daughter made this mistake herself, and she was accepted to a college and given a full scholarship to this college. But when we went to visit before we made our final choices, it was not a positive. She did not like the campus at all. She did not have a good feeling about it. So we had to turn this college down. So I would always recommend that you go and visit that college to kind of get a sense of the place so that you know whether or not your student is going to feel comfortable there. Don't just apply to random colleges. And if you get accepted, then you have to make this decision, oh, my gosh, I don't know anything about it, and I really want to know something about it before I decide. So don't apply if you've not visited the college. It's kind of a waste of your time and your students' time. The second thing is visiting the campus without making an appointment. And why is this important? Because colleges keep track of who comes onto their campus. And when they see your application and they've got a note that you were there visiting, they're going to say, oh, wow, they really aren't interested in attending our campus. So make an appointment, meet with the admissions office, schedule an appointment with financial aid, let them know that you're interested so that when they get your application, they see you really are interested and they remember who you are and they make that connection. The next mistake is ruling out a college because of its price tag. And this is probably the biggest mistake that people make. They will look at a private college and say, wow, their tuition is $28,000 a year. And they'll look at their state college and they'll go, wow, their tuition is $9,000 a year. Why would I even want to apply to the private college? Well, because private colleges have massive donors and alumni that give money to the college, and the college divvies that money out in the forms of grants and merit aid to their students. So the financial aid package at a private college is going to be much bigger than the package at a state school. So do your research, go on College Navigator, see how much aid each college gives, and make your decision based on that, not just based on the high price tag. The next mistake is thinking that you won't get financial aid, and that's why when I talked about the FAFSA earlier, is that most colleges will give out some form of financial aid, whether it's loans or grants or scholarships or whatever. They're going to give you some sort of aid, so always fill out the FAFSA. The next mistake is making up information. I mean, I can't believe people do this, but they do. You don't want to embellish your kids' accomplishments. I mean, it's always going to come back to haunt you. That just seems pretty common, but people do it. Missing deadlines, oh gosh, that's a biggie. Colleges are not forgiving of you missing a deadline. If you miss your application deadline, you might as well forget it. You're not going to get to apply. So stay on top of the deadlines, the test deadlines, application deadlines, the FAFSA deadlines are important. Any of those deadlines are key to getting into the college and getting the financial aid that you deserve. The next one is submitting an incomplete application. I read an article from Rutgers University the other day that they award $400 in financial aid, free grant money, to every student that completes the application correctly. Now, you can't afford to lose out on that money. So colleges have this formula that they use in awarding aid, and sometimes it's based on silly little things that you might think don't matter. But make sure that the application is complete, because you can lose out. You can lose out in admission, and you can even lose out in merit aid if your application isn't filled out correctly. Another mistake is not paying attention to recommendations. The colleges really put value on those teacher, counselor, mentor recommendations. So choose them wisely. Make sure that the people that write about you are the ones that you want writing about you. Don't just randomly choose someone that doesn't know you, because colleges read these things and they pay really good attention to them. The next one is choosing a college for its reputation. You know, Ivy colleges are so overrated. Just don't mm-hmm. choose a college because so-and-so, ooh, I went to Yale, or ooh, I went to Harvard, or ooh, I went here or there. You want to choose a college where you feel comfortable, where it's a good fit for you financially, for you and your family, and where you're going to enjoy your 4 years, not some place that you're going to feel out of place and struggle to make it through. So don't pick a college based on its reputation, because most people that do, they're going to transfer because they're going to be unhappy. Now, this is a big one, allowing parents to have too much control. You know, the word helicopter parent is all over the place. Admissions officers can't stand helicopter parents. They've labeled parents that because they swoop in and try to take over when the kids are being admitted, to once the kids get in, to handling every little problem or detail. Don't be the type of parent that does everything for the student, because you're basically hurting them. They need to be an independent adult when they enter college. They need to understand that they need to advocate for themselves, that they need to talk with people, they need to make these choices and decisions. They need to be the one asking the questions on campus tours. They need to be the one talking to the admissions officers and the financial aid people. Your job as a parent is basically a coach, and you're supposed to be the person there that gives them advice, helps them decide between their choices, makes them aware of the financial situation that all of you guys are in together and what's required of them. You're there to mentor them and encourage them. You're not there to do it all for them, because if you do, they're going to go to college and they're going to be completely and totally lost. And you don't want a child in a college environment totally dependent on their parents. They're going to be ridiculed and they're going to be miserable. So don't have too much control. Have enough to organize them, but let them, as this one guy, I love this, he says, we don't mind parents being involved, but we want their students to drive the car. So you be the passenger and you let them, you know, chart their own course.
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, the book is an e-book, and it's Parents Countdown to College Toolkit. And I think it's great because it has so much information, even information that we didn't get to touch on today in today's show. Can you tell everybody where they can go get it, how they can purchase it, and all that kind of good stuff?
Sure. My website address is parentscountdowntocollegecoach.com, and on my website there's a link for the toolkit, and just briefly, the toolkit's more than the ebook. It also gives you links to all the websites where you will need to find additional information, like scholarship sites, college choice sites, FAFSA sites, testing sites. So it gives you all that information. Plus, there's also templates in there to help you with your organization process. And there's also sample resumes and sample essays. So it kind of just basically gives you an overall view of the whole college process. So if they go to my website, parentscountdowntocollegecoach.com, they can order the toolkit there. And it's an electronic kit. They order it, and then they get it a link to download it, and they'll have it in their hands immediately. So it's very easy to read and use. It's in PDF format, and there's instructions on, if you don't have a W Acrobat, how to get it. So it's very simple.
Right. And it has a lot of great information, like I said, that we didn't even get to touch on in today's show. And it is a must-have. If you've got anybody in high school or know somebody that has somebody in high school that's thinking about college, this is a great resource to have. Suzanne, thank you so much for coming and joining us today and sharing this information, because I wish I would have had it a long time ago.
I know. It's definitely, I wish I had had it when my kids went to college, so it is definitely timely, and like I said, I'm a parent myself, and my goal is to help other parents. I have a passion for it, and I know how frustrating it is, and I just want to be there to help. So, you know, if they don't want to buy the toolkit, I mean, I understand that. Go to my website and subscribe to my newsletter. They'll get an email every single week, and they'll get tips in their email. And plus, I blog almost every day, and they'll get information on my blog. So there's always different information available, and I'm there to help. So I'm so happy to be on your program, Deb, and thanks for asking me. It was a great opportunity for me to pass this information
along.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely, and I'm sure it will be a great help for somebody that is out there with a loved one fixing to go to college and looking at college. So thank you very much, and anytime you want to volunteer any articles for the magazine, we'll be happy to place them on our website.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm always willing to do that.
Wonderful.
So thanks
for
having me.
Thanks again. Uh-huh,
okay.
You have a great day.
Okay, you too, Deb. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, y'all, make sure you get on over there to her website and get that information, because I'm telling you, whether you know somebody or have somebody that is in high school, they will need this information. And there's even more information in there that we didn't get a chance to touch on, because, hello, college is a lot to try and get somebody loaded and ready to go. And there's just so many great things. It's a 200 or 300 page ebook. So we're really excited for Suzanne to stop by and share that with us. Again, her website address is parentscountdowntocollegecoach.com, and you can get that information over there. Okay, ladies and gentlemen that listen in, we've got great shows coming up for you next week. Let's see, who do we got? We have got, Dr. Navano will be here next week. We're going to be talking about hormone regulation. Deb Scott's going to be in here talking about her latest book, Green Sky and Bluegrass. Very inspirational. So we're excited about that. And then, you know what? October's right around the corner. Can you believe that? I know. I can't believe it either. And we've got some great shows coming up in October as well. We're going to be talking about prescription drugs. We're going to be talking about how to spot a dangerous man. Oh, my gosh. We're going to be talking about winterizing your car. So money. Oh, we always talk about money. We're going to be talking with Elizabeth Dale on our breasts and buying the correct bra. I know, something that we have to learn. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be talking about to a doctor about allergies and children. So you know what? And we're going to be talking about hoarding. So, and that's a big thing going on right now. So I want to make sure everybody tunes in right here. The Power Women Magazine, and we just want to thank you so much. Visit our website, www.powerwomenmag.com, all one word. Thank you so much for joining us. Y'all have a great day. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.